This is War Radio. War Radio, and we're going to start off our show today in a somber mode. Dr. Kaldenberg's here. We've been in, we have been feeling very sad here the last few days.
Yes, a personal friend of God's in trouble.
Oh, yes, one of the finer Americans that knows all about the fruited plain is in big trouble.
From Oxycontin lung from God.
Yeah, so anyhow, we're going to dedicate the following song to our good old buddy, Rush Scumball. Here we go. Yeah.
Go, Rush, you can do it.
Temperature's rising. Either it's high.
You can do it, Rush. Get off the floor, Rush.
Stay away from that methadone. That's cheating, Rush. That's cheating.
So is my head.
No methadone for you.
I wish I was a baby. I wish you was dead.
So do I, Rush.
Oh, poor boy. Oh, you big old hypocrite, you.
Yeah, he's got the runs, too.
Leave that diaper on. You can do it, Rush.
Rush, I got some China White to sell. Go cheap.
One thing I'm sure of, I'm in at the deep freeze.
Oh, your Republican friends can't help you now.
Maybe your good buddy President Bush can loan you a fix. The Bush is on cocaine, not opiates.
You can do it, Rush.
Oh, it hurts so bad. Oh, the cramps. The cramps. The cramps.
You can do it, Rush. Quit screaming. Put your diaper back on.
Take another month so we keep you out off the air for 2 months.
36 hours.
You can bring that felon in from San Diego, too, to take your place. I hear he likes that stuff, too.
San Quentin, you get all the heroin you can buy, Rush. Just bend over. It's yours.
Oh, I'll be a good boy. Please make me well.
Get a hold of yourself, Deb.
God has abandoned you, Rush Limbaugh.
I'm sorry, Rush. God hates you. When you get out of detox, you're going to the prison. Oh, damn. Is this karma?
Be Bubba's bitch, Rush.
Oh, he'd make a good Bubba bitch.
Don't cry, Rush. Don't be a pussy.
Stop it! Stop it! Stop it!
Ah, they ain't gonna stop it, Rush. Damn, they got your ass.
It hurts being a heroin addict, don't it, Rush?
How's that cyst on your butthole doing? You know, the one you got out of going to Vietnam with.
You would have went to Vietnam, you would have had all the heroin you wanted over there. What a pussy, Rush. Don't cry.
get to do it. Rush, hang on. Come on, Snoopy, hang on.
God has faith in you, Rush.
Pray to Jesus.
That was a special song created and written by John Lennon, because he knew way, way back there before he got his ass blown off that Rush Gumball sooner or later would need this song. He knew it. He did.
What is thy bidding, my master?
Well, right now, I'll tell you, Igor, we got to get things straight around here and do some advertising, because this is War Radio at P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. Our email address is warmetzger@sbcglobal.net. And send your subscriptions in for the Big War newspaper. Wow, if you haven't gotten it, you have missed a lot. The most racist revolutionary paper in the world, I would say. $30 in the USA for 12 monthly issues. And $40 in Soviet Kanukistan, that's Canada, and $50 in all other offshore countries, and that's in U.S. dollars, U.S. funds or money orders only. And for you guys inside the States, make your checks to John Metzger. That's John Metzger. If you want to talk on this radio station, well, then just call our 760-723-8996 number and leave a short message. And if it's understandable and so forth, we'll put it on the old radio show here and comment on it. And that's our 24-hour update line. And we put this whole show on the telephone line also, so your friends that don't have a computer can listen to our radio show. How about that? War Radio is available on our website that you can download it or stream it. Or you can also, on Monday and Thursday, go to whiteplanet.org. And whiteplanet.org runs several other radio shows, and they have virtually almost a 24-hour music line, skinhead music, and so forth. And we are on Monday and Thursday, and so just go on there to whiteplanet.org and check their schedule. Now, War is going to offer something that has not been offered before, and that is something that you'll find very interesting if you're interested in history, and if you're interested specifically in Nazi Germany history. I've had a book available to me in my library for many years, and I have discovered a source for it, and I think this is a book you should read or would like to read. It's a book that details, I'll bet a lot of you thought that the Enigma machine is what really screwed the Germans over, and because they used it against the submarine wolf packs, and they used it against the German Air Force in the Battle of Britain. But these were really minor, relatively minor things. The main thing that defeated Germany was the fact that there was a very high-placed spy cell right at the top of the Nazi regime. And guess what? There was a Jew sitting down in Switzerland. Yes, a Jew by the name of Strassner. And this book is the story of how he passed on all the information to the Russians and all kinds of other people. So, A Man Called Lucy, codenamed Lucy, $20 for this book. And if you're really a history buff and really want to know what really screwed the Hitler's program up, order that book from us. $20. And also, another addition to that is the fact that even though the code name Lucy was probably the biggest thing in the downfall of the German military, also we had the situation where Hitler was being pumped full of methamphetamines by Dr. Morell. And you should read the books about this doctor who was doing some quacky things. And that would answer to me why Hitler made some funny moves there and the middle of the war, especially the attack on Russia, which, as far as I'm concerned, regardless of what the right wing says, was a real bad mistake.
Well, yeah, that was actually, you could see that being speed paranoia.
Yeah, that's what I see that as. At a certain point in the war, when he was getting pumped full of those methamphetamines, he started really doing...
Well, that could explain, too, like in the later years, they were saying he had like a furious temper and like he'd throw the tables around. That could be like speed freaks.
Well, yeah. Hell yes, right. Dr. Kahlenberg, how did you sneak in here? I didn't hear the Mexicans shooting or anything.
I sneaked past him. I got brown paint on my face.
Wait a minute. What's that out in the yard? You got a goddamn air balloon out there. You came in one of those baskets on a balloon.
Sneaky son of a bitch.
Really quiet, man. I didn't even hear you sneak up. What's up?
You know, I think we're going to have to call Rush now Rush Head, and it gives new meaning to Rush Rooms, doesn't it?
Yeah, Rush Head, man.
Still going into the Rush Room.
Well, isn't that something? Remember all those people that he made fun of?
Oh, yeah, you know, the mayor of D.C. and all those, was it Daryl Strawberry and stuff like that?
Mrs. Dukakis, remember her?
Yeah.
Kitty or Katie or whatever her name was, he was laughing all over the place about her.
Yeah.
And what's really funny is that doing business in this town for so many years, he was, when he came out with his book, every big shot Republican house I went into had his book there on right on the coffee table where everybody could see it. They just love Rush.
Like the Bible.
And they'd ask you, do you like Rush? I'd say, well, no. Whoa, you don't like Rush?
Well, you know, they say he was taking 100 pills a day. I mean, God, you got to have to take him in shifts or something.
But do you see how all of these people who are taking over his show are trying to get him out of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I ran into a woman yesterday that was trying to say, stand up for him. And, wait a minute, if he was a left-winger, you wouldn't do that.
Oh, no.
You'd say, gas the son of a bitch, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and also his screener will never let our people through.
No, no.
And he was always, he hates racism and he can't criticize the Jews, so... Put that boy away and let him scream and lay there in his diapers.
Well, you know what's funny is first opium was a painkiller, and they wanted to make a better painkiller, so then they invented heroin. You know, buffer aspirin did that. Then they wanted to make a better one, and they made morphine, and they keep doing it until they made them stronger and stronger. Now this Oxycontin's supposed to be like 10 times worse than heroin. It's supposed to be the worst thing to get addicted to.
What the hell's the matter with these people? Why are they so screwed up on life that they got to take all these pills? I don't understand.
I know.
I'm a happy fellow. I have a good time. I hate part of the time, and I love part of the time, and I don't take no pills.
Well, but since the 1800s, they've been saying that opiates, you know, the worst thing you do is become an opiate addict, you know, because it's nothing but, you know, when you withdraw it, you know, it really hurts. And then when you take it after a while, you can't even get high anymore. So you got to keep taking more and more just to get a buzz.
Oh, man.
Bunch of morons.
It's terrible.
I got a great new tagline for the Rush Limbaugh show.
Okay.
Rush Limbaugh, the Keith Richards of conservatism.
Oh, that's going to go right over some people's heads.
Well, young people will get it.
How many of those conservative Republicans know who Keith Richards is?
Well, the left will know.
Oh, okay.
Keith Richards was a heroin addict rock star.
Oh, okay. I'll go along with that. Hey, the old BBC is almost done following me around. We got Louis Theroux from the BBC there in London, and he's been following me around. And I took him around town. I think the thing that upsets him the worst is that nobody hates me around here, at least the ones he talks to.
Yeah, they're tolerating.
I went in here, I went to the businesses, I went into a customer's house, and, you know, everybody, you know, I got along with everybody fine. I mean, that really bugs him.
Yeah.
So now he tries to switch it around and say, well, if you're not a hater and people hating you, then you're just a phony.
No, oh, yeah.
See,
yeah.
So you can't win with these guys. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out on television.
Okay, I remember... about a couple months ago, there was some guy writing a book who was interviewing me, and I asked this Mexican waiter for some water, and he gave me some water, and I thanked him, and the guy's eyes got so big, like, aha, you hypocritic son of a bitch, you thanked a Mexican.
Yeah, but...
You know, like, I'm supposed to throw him on the floor and stab him in the eye with a fork or something.
Yeah, well, I've always said, the reason we treat people as politely as possible is because of what we are, not what they are.
Oh, yeah.
We are Aryans. We're supposed to be a noble people. We're supposed to have honor.
Mm-hmm.
And within reason, we should give honor to people if they don't cause us problems.
Yeah.
And you're living in a community and you go around. And too many racists believe they have to just go out with this scowl on her face, hating everybody every day. And that's not what a real racist is.
No.
I mean, like I told Thoreau, I said, hey, wait a minute, you're from Britain. The British had people working for them and slaves and everything for hundreds of years. And I'm sure they called them probably by their first name, and there was a color line there, but I'm sure there was some respect there. And they talked to each other politely. So what's your problem, Brit boy?
What do you think about the supermarket strike?
Oh, I think it's neat. I went down and marched with the picketers yesterday.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's mostly white women and stuff. I expected it to be a bunch of Mexicans.
It was all whites in the picket line I marched in. I grabbed that sign and I marched in it for, a few minutes, and those Brits took pictures of it to take back to England. And but you see, here's the logic to this. The deficit in California that's so bad is very largely due to illegal aliens, right? Now, what about all the health care they get, and our rising health care prices here in California are a direct result of illegal aliens.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So, then they hospitals pass it on to these workers, whether it's a grocery or what. Well, then the companies that these people work for say, well, we can no longer pay your health benefits. Yeah. Well, why can't you pay the health? How come? Oh, they're going too high. Why are they going too high? Because the wetbacks are breaking our hospitals. That's why. And so also these big corporations, they will do nothing to stem the flow of illegals. They want it.
Yeah.
If they don't want it, they're taking great advantage. I mean, they're selling tremendous amounts of food and beer and everything to wetbacks. So even though I don't always agree with the unions, by God, I'm going to walk the picket line, and I won't cross over a picket line now.
Well, I told you, about 10 years ago when the drywallers went on strike, all these white guys were all upset because the Mexicans were taking their jobs, so they went on strike. And guess what? They hired illegal aliens to picket the sites.
Well,
there are all these wetbacks out there picking the sites because the white guys are too lazy to go out there to strike.
Right, and you know that 80% of these people that work in these big supermarkets are part-time.
Yeah.
You know why they do
that. Oh, yeah, 24 hours, yeah, so they don't have to give them benefits.
That's right. They hire them that way so they don't have to give benefits. So don't have any sympathy for the big corporations.
Yeah.
That is crap. And you know what? All this right-wing radio and all this radio programs and talk shows, they're all down on the union people. And, Walmart's coming in, and they don't have union workers. Well, by God, run Walmart out. I mean, if the workers really got pissed enough, they'd surround these Walmart stores and shut them down.
Well, I told you,
if they didn't shut them down, they could burn them down.
I told you what Standard did to my dad and a lot of my dad's friends is, when they're getting up in their 60s, they decided that they were going to promote all these guys into supervisors. And my dad was real suspicious of this. One of my brother's friend's dad, they made him a supervisor. And then once they got supervisor, they weren't protected by the union, and they fired them all. and then my dad, he was in his 60s, and they gave him a package deal. He was there for, I think, 32 years, and they gave him $30,000 and told him to fuck off. They said he could either take the $30,000 or they'd fire him, and they'd fight the union to the thing. So, the unions were really weak and stuff. And it's kind of bad because when he got the job, they promised him all these benefits that he was supposed to get, like two-thirds of his wages when he retired and everything.
Right.
And so, he wasn't saving because, he assumed that the company would keep its word.
Right.
And once he got into his 60s, he'd go, here's $30,000, fuck off.
Yeah, those corporations are always scheming against the working man. And then these right-wing radio shows come up and say, and they're hardly ever really going after the corporations.
Yeah.
And, guess who's in the hip pocket of the corporations now in California.
All the greatest nationwide.
Yeah, well, now Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course, Gray Davis was, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but they have done nothing to stop. And here we're paying for all this sewage now coming up from Mexico, and we're putting them in a new sewage line. And guess why? We need a new sewage line
because pooping.
They got 600 or 700 American companies down there just south of the border that are just thumbing their nose at American workers, and they're down there getting these people working for, one quarter or less. And you've got no environmental controls.
Yeah.
The smog is coming up here from Mexico and a whole bit. And these corporations, fuck them.
Yeah.
they're one of our worst enemies. And you know what I get mad at is guys who just say it's just Jews. It's not just Jews.
No.
These most of these corporations aren't owned by Jews or run by Jews. The Jews do a lot of bad things, but believe me, it's these Republicans and even the Democrats are in on it because most of the Democrats are not really helping out the working man anyhow anymore. Oh, man, you got me on a tirade here.
Anybody who's not a white racist is the problem.
That's right.
Oh, I've got a bit of information that made me very happy. I heard that Malaysia, you know what they do to illegal aliens in Malaysia?
They cut their wings off.
No, they cane them. They flog them.
Wow.
They flog them and then they deport them. Wouldn't that be great if we did something like that?
Yeah.
Take a big old cane, just beat the crap out of them and send them back to Mexico. Yeah. I mean, they put huge welts on their backs. It's not just a little whipping. So.
Wow. Well, let's get that going.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll run for office and use that as my main main issue.
Cane those sons of bitches.
Maybe Michael Caine will come down and help us do it.
They can even cut their own bamboo canes.
make them do that too.
Yeah.
Hell, I don't care. I ain't a tolerant person.
No.
I'm intolerant of tolerance.
That's true. Let's go to the phone calls, Tom.
Again?
Yes, it's that time of week.
We got lots of them, I think. Okay.
Well, I was wondering what your opinions are on Anton LaVey and on Satanism. And I was wondering, would you propose the separation of church and state in our all of, like, society, or would you want them to be one and the same? And if so, what type of religion?
Okay, what do you say, Dr. Kahlenberg, all knower of all truth?
Well, Anton LaVey talked out of both sides of his mouth. When he talked to racists, he was a racist. When he talked to anti-racists, he was an anti-racist.
Do we need to give him a little bit of credit? Because it looks like, from what I found out, he sort of was the one who dug up Might is Right.
Yeah.
He found it on in a bookstore someplace for 75 cents.
Yeah.
And was so taken back with it that he started using it.
Oh, yeah.
And then he put a foreword into this one that's printed out now, not in the one we reprint, but... he was sort of an interesting guy, and I claim to be part Jew... And I don't know which part, but and then also said he was through the gypsies or something,
and then
he was in the circus, and then he was an FBI informant, it says.
He'd
done all kinds of things.
When Zena was his spokesman for the church, you know, she was talking to me, and she was saying all this stuff out, but she wanted to merge the two evils, white racism and Satanism and blah, 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 but... You know, you never know about them because, like I said, they talk out of both sides of their mouths.
It was like a lot of show business. Yeah. Now, Zena one time and Nicholas Schreck, that we'd had some contact with early on, they came down and visited me and my wife.
They came down to visit me, and then I brought them over to your
house.
Was
that it?
Yeah. Well, they came over for, like, Christmas. Easter and I think Thanksgiving or something.
Yeah.
They came over like 4 or 5 times.
Not to my place.
Over to my place.
Oh, I see. They only came to my place, I think, once.
Yeah.
And then I think we went to their place up there in Hollywood once.
Yeah.
That where she was up, had the snake.
Right? Oh, yeah, that big old stuffed wolf and stuff and the pentagram and all the lights were red.
Well, they had a real bull constrictor.
Yeah, yeah.
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 And then there was the coffins laying around.
Yeah, and that painting of John Wayne Gacy in the bathroom.
Jeez.
You know, him as Pogo the Clown.
Well, anyhow, I believe whatever you want to do, go do it. But don't expect me not to criticize it. I don't quite understand Satanism. I don't care. I mean, you know, it's to each his own. But the problem is that Christianity pretty much invented Satanism.
Yeah.
And it seems funny to me to start a Church of Satan based upon what the Christians...
Well, it wasn't really an official religion until he created, I think it was like 66 is when he created it. Because even Aleister Crowley, you know, he wasn't really a Satanist. You know, he was more into Egyptian paganism and Pan and, you know, the Roman god Pan and stuff.
Oh.
But he flirted with Satanism just to freak the Christianity. A lot of it is just to freak the Christianity.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
But still, technically, Satan, if you're... going with Satan deal,
mm-hmm.
you're going with Christianity by proxy.
Yeah.
And see, I don't believe in either one, so I mean, how can I, you know, but the closest I can come, what I like is that, like the Church of the Creator put out, they had, that was a pretty good position to take.
Yeah.
But as far as religious freedom in an all-white society, well, I'm afraid that it would have to be somewhat controlled, because we could not have these wild, crazy religions,
namely Christianity,
destroying racism.
Yeah,
and they'd have to radically change everything. Well, they could, see, if they go back to Mithraism and the ancient sun worship and like that, we got no problem, which is actually the basis of Christianity anyhow.
Well, the thing was Christianity, their entire religion is based on our worship of Jewish history. You know, anything that's Aryan and stuff is Satanism. You know, they think the pagan gods are Satanists and everything like that, and it's just big old Jew worship. So how could you have an Aryan nation and have everybody worshiping Jewish history?
You know, well, yeah, because you got to understand that the Christian idea, unfortunately, was based upon rejection of the flesh, rejection of nature, and everything was evil on the earth, and it was only good in heaven.
Yeah.
Well, hell, I mean, that's no way to run a railroad. And so they said, well, then is it Satan's the lord of this earth? Well, I like the earth.
Yeah.
I mean, and I like nature.
Yeah, Satan is the material world, and God is the spiritual world. And there's a dualism fight between the spirit and the material world.
Well, just think, Amanda, how horrible it is for all these millions of people down through history to have been victims of priestcraft and so forth, and you know, to wear your dress all the way down to your feet and wear these, well, like they wear now, these burkas and everything, because some stupid priest told them to do that. I mean, come on.
The thing that really gets me off is all basically Aryan history, all the books that they burnt and stuff. Yeah. You know, Charlemagne's big thing is that he went in Germany, and there was a big pagan library there, and he burnt 5,000 pagan books that were on like animal sheepskins and stuff. You know, that was a history of the German people. He burned it up. And then he basically just tore down every temple. They destroyed Rome. They knocked all the pagan statues down and destroyed all the temples and put Rome into ruins. And basically, they just gutted our history. Because even like Slavic stuff, there's a lot of stuff about Slavic history and religion that we'll never, ever know because the Christians destroyed it.
Well, even the Dead Sea Scrolls, they're trying to screw those up because they the Essene group, which cult was around at that time, and they say nothing about a Jesus at the time. There was no Jesus.
No.
And so, but the Jews are trying desperately to cover up.
Well, I think there's probably 1,000 Jesus. Like you go to downtown San Diego, every street corner you got some nut that thinks he's Jesus.
Oh,
Probably, I imagine in Israel is just like that. Every crazy person in the world was speaking to God.
Well, we just can't have contaminating religions ruining our white society, that's all, and certainly can't have Islam or anything.
No.
It'd be, even Buddhism would be better, and Shintoism.
Shintoism is actually pretty Aryan. I think there's a lot of cross-pollination between Aryan ideas and Japanese ideas.
I think so, yeah. So there you got it. That's our opinion.
Yeah.
That's our opinion.
Yeah, from Arizona, I like your Alamo song. Unfortunately, Texas right now is about the one half mestizo. Those Texans got weak, and they were that nice cheap labor. And I guess that's the way it goes. It's really sad. Also, 1 out of 5 people in this country right now, 1 out of 5, cannot speak English. So we better have a revolution pretty quick here, because I think we've only got about another 5 years. It's going to be all she wrote. Hopefully, there'll be the 100th monkey. Remember the 100th monkey? That might be coming through here pretty quick. It's pretty hot here in Arizona. There's a lot of anti-Mexican feeling right now all over the place. Bye.
Well, Dr. Kahlenberg, it's going to have to get a lot hotter, a lot faster, because so far, not much is happening.
Well, I kind of think that North America, actually even in South America, is going to be the Alamo of Russia. You know, we're going to fall and burn and stuff, and hopefully it'll wake up the Russian people, because Western Europe is lost. It's just like America.
Well, I don't know. I think Western Europe's got a chance. I don't think England does, but I think Western Europe does.
Yeah, from what I heard, Germany's basically like a WOG city, and Amsterdam is always a shithole, but, you know, Copenhagen. And
that's true, but they have a tendency, if they get their ass in an uproar, to deport people. Like the French are really... I was watching French TV, and they're just, you know, Islamic kids tried to wear those coverings in the school, and they just expelled them right out.
Oh, really?
Said, that's it, you know. So, I don't know. I still hold out some hope for Western Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We've got a lot of land mass here, Canada and so forth. A lot of things. I think it's going to break down into a lot of tribalism, modern type tribalism, extended family type situation with the Aryans. And people who stick together and trade together and all that kind of stuff, you know, look out after each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like Ma Barker and her boys.
I almost like that. I don't know, I've talked about this. You maybe even have a Back to Europe movement. Everything's just lost. And the United States, for all the white contribution to America, they ought to pay us $100 billion. And they hate us so bad, we'll just leave and go to Russia and live.
I know guys here in town that are moving back to places even like Poland, Lithuania, and Latvia.
Yeah.
Most of them are older guys that had some ties there in the beginning. But, anyow, there's millions of white people down in South America.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they tend to live separate, too,
like
Castilian Spanish.
Yeah.
Now, you could go down there and get right into those communities, and I'm sure they would pretty well welcome you, and you'd have to speak the language, not just Mexican Spanish either. They speak Castilian down there.
King Spanish.
A guy was telling me the other day about it. He was raised in a town in East Texas where they had Spanish land grants were still there, and the people were living on them.
Yeah.
And they were Castilian white Spanish. And he says they didn't even hardly mix with the other white people, you know.
Yeah.
And when they wanted to take a non-white Catholic church and mix it with a white Catholic church that was being financed by these wealthy Castilians, the guy that owned the big land grant went down with a horsewhip and whipped the priest right out into the street. And after that, they didn't bring that black church in with the white church.
Yeah.
And then finally, when they did, these Castilians pulled all their money out of the white church and let it collapse.
Yeah.
And they were very racist. They even imported Castilian Spanish from all the way from Spain to marry their kids.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to have to get more into that kind of thing. You know, I don't know. You know, they have tradition of hundreds and hundreds of years at that. But I think we could get into it.
Well, people have to work hard and stuff. Like, you know, it's basically even the movement's got to get its ass in gear because so many people just don't do a damn thing. Even people in the know, what gets me is people in the know don't do a damn thing.
Well, that's because they don't live what they preach.
Yeah.
And the movement, I hate that word, you know, like we've called it the bowel movement. No, because you're including the right wing.
Yeah.
Unless there is a tremendous change in these right wingers, they're not usable.
Yeah.
I couldn't trust them into any major thing. And they have all this conscience about, oh, my goodness, Timothy McVeigh blew up a building and all that. We can't have people like that. We have to have people that are just hard as nails, but also that love their people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, Tacitus talks about one of the four deadly sins of the Germanic tribes was laziness, being sloth and stuff, being a shrecker. So a lot of people who didn't contribute to the folkish community, if the apples went bad, they just sacrificed them to the gods. go back to that, just get rid of all the leaves.
Yeah, I'm telling you, more ways than one. Yeah. I've seen a lot of them around here I like to sacrifice.
Yeah.
I don't know, though, whether the gods would accept some of these miserable
seeds. Yeah, they'd probably be kind of pissed. So, a lot of them, Tacitus says they buried them in bogs and stuff. They used to put boards on them, and, like faggots and stuff. They used to just bury them and crush them in the bogs. So
that's what got our boy up in Canada.
He said that was a good idea that the pagans, they just used to bury them.
Yeah.
Just push them down into the bog so you don't have to look. Tacitus said that so the gods don't have to see them anymore.
You see, the Anglican Church is about ready to split down.
The homo thing. Yeah.
You know, I hear more guys. I was watching that comedy show that's on after. It's on last night on the comedy channel.
Colin Quinn?
Yeah, and they talk about fags. The guy came right on. They say, look, if you are into the Bible, it says right there that you shouldn't be a fag.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you know, and the Jews too.
Yeah.
Now, really, it's there.
Yeah.
If that's a rule, then they should follow it. Then I heard that Phelps preacher on the radio.
Phelps loves AIDS.
He's building a monument out there to that fag that got killed out there in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah.
They hung him.
The shepherd or something like that.
Hung him on the fence.
Yeah,
so
shepherd.
He's going to build a monument, and now they say they can't stop him because it's some kind of free speech thing.
Well, to the guy or to the guys that killed him?
To the guy that he's going. This is where Matthew
entered
hell.
Yeah.
This is where Matthew Shepherd entered hell on this day.
This is the porthole.
Yeah.
Excellent shows, gentlemen. Keep up the good work.
What is wrong with our society today? We have people now that are offering Kobe Bryant, offering their help in getting rid of his accuser. You know, 50, 70 years ago, you know, it would be the other way around. You know, it's just crazy. This it's a madhouse. It's a total madhouse.
Well, that's an interesting situation. We could talk about Kobe Bryant, too.
Yeah.
You know, well, that's what he was talking about. Yeah. Well, they said today on the news, and they say the prosecutors got some more real heavy stuff against him. But also, the defense come out and say they got proof that he didn't do it because they found other things in her panties.
Uh-oh.
Well, so what if she screwed, if that's it, if she screwed 15 guys 2 hours before? What's that got to do with anything?
Well, what it is first they said that it was rough sex that got out of hand. And then they said that, oh, the bruises aren't that bad. And then they said, it's the boyfriend, he did it, he beat her up, and the bruises are horrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, they keep changing their stories. And usually innocent people don't keep, you know, offering different stories. And also one thing they did is in the hearings there, is she's got all these death threats and stuff. And they made sure that they mentioned her name about five or six times, because basically they want to scare her, intimidate her, to let everybody know who she is so that people can come and kill her.
I want to be honest with you about it. The best scenario would have been if he had killed her.
Mm-hmm.
Then she'd be out of the way as a race-mixing whore, and he'd be out of the way. Well, that would be the best deal.
Well, she actually may not even be a race-mixing whore, because I kind of think that she was just some dumb kid that went up there and going, oh, boy, I can get an autograph or something like that, you know. I don't think she went up there for sex.
No, she led him around and, you know, was giving him a private tour, went into the room and all that. And I think it started out that they were going to fart around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they were starting to play around, but it got out of hand, and then he got physical. And that's the way a lot of those things are. Mm. Look at, like, Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Or white guys, too. It starts out, you know, and a guy gets all excited.
Yeah.
And by the time he's ready to really go, she said, no, that's it. What do you mean, no?
Yeah.
Guys, great show as always. Wyatt, I'm referring back to the article you had in the War Paper called Keepers of the Temple. Great article for anyone into paganism, and especially Lithuanian paganism. Who wrote that? I noticed you didn't put your name by it, but then again, you never do when you write your editorials in that paper. And I punched it in on a search engine on the internet, and it came up on some pagan website, and I looked with interest, and again, no author's name indicated. So if you know who wrote that, that'd be great. Thanks.
I don't remember writing it. I doubt if it was me.
No, I don't know. Did you dig it up or did I? People send me stuff all the time. Well, I'll tell you what, we tend not to put people's names on articles. If they want us to, they have to say so when they send it to us, because we try to protect people's privacy. And that's one way of doing it. So it's not that we don't want you to know who did it. It's only we want them to give permission or ask for it.
Yeah.
And otherwise, we don't put anyone's name on these articles. But it was a very good article.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh, damn. That was a goddamn beautiful radio show, I tell you. This is Danny G, Oceanside, California. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. You guys said everything that I needed to hear. Thanks for making my day.
Well, you're welcome, Danny G, over there in Oceanside. I could almost spit over there at Oceanside, not very far away. Yeah.
Yeah,
good to know we got friends in Oceanside. I hope you haven't been totally immersed in the black culture over there in Oceanside.
Oceanside's a weird place. Like, on one block, we'll have these really nice homes where rich white people live. And the next block over, there'll be Spickville, and about three or four times a week, there'll be gunshots in the air. There'll be the ghettos right next to the rich people.
Yeah, of course. To you people who don't know, Oceanside, California is a marine town. And, you know, anytime you've got a military town, whether it's marine or what, you do have a certain amount of problems that you may not have in a community that is devoid of the military.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of beautiful little homes in Oceanside that people have remodeled and made them like little gingerbread houses and everything. But they're high as hell, boy.
Yeah.
Boy, the prices for these houses with all the Asians and all the Mexicans coming in. And you know what? That's another thing I wanted to talk about. The federal government now is giving a $5,000 startup package to these poor people so they can buy a house.
Yeah.
And Bush has got one of those programs they just announced today on the radio. Now, you know who most of those people are going to get the $5,000 to get them a house? It's just like the money they give to these Asians. They had a deal where they were coming into this country and they were getting $10,000
well,
and a car.
Somalians worked. This guy who's a polygamist, he came over and he brought his quote-unquote cousins, which was his other wives, and with each one of his wives were on welfare because they were single women, because quote-unquote they were his cousins, stinking Muslim. They gave each wife a $40,000 SUV. They guaranteed him a $9 an hour beginning post office job as soon as one opened. He was guaranteed, and they gave the kids all kinds of money and all kinds of welfare, and he was working. And his other wives were on welfare because, quote-unquote, they were his cousins. And it's just a total scam.
How can you blame people when somebody just hands it to you on a silver platter not taking it? The people I really hate are the white people mm-hmm. who are still in the positions of power that do this.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a Hillary Clinton or whatever. People like her.
Yeah.
They want to give the whole goddamn thing away. Now, it's way past time to rise up and punish a lot of people, you know what I mean? And I'm not going to go much farther, especially since I mentioned that bitch. Come on, Wyatt, let's go to the movies.
I saw a great movie yesterday called Kill Bill Volume 1.
I saw it before you did.
I know. that was like a kind of a Western Japanese comic book type, futuristic type movie.
It was a little bit of everything.
Yeah, they even had a cartoon in the middle of it.
Yeah, and you notice on that one deal where there was so much blood flying that they actually went to black and white?
Well, they said that he used 450 gallons of fake blood, and you can see every drop of that blood on the screen.
Oh, man.
I liked it when he chopped Lucy Liu's top of her head off.
That
was pretty funny.
The girl did.
Yeah.
Now, what's the story with her? Do you know anything about her? She's a tall, blonde gal.
Yeah, somebody said she's a Jew, but if she's a Jew, I don't know of anything she's ever done bad.
Yeah, well, the point is she's symbolic of an Aryan warrior.
Yeah, she's got two blonde kids. So.
Yeah, I don't, no matter what, she is, I wish people would go see this movie, but don't take your kids. There was some stupid parent in there had their little kids in there with that movie. I felt like going over and bitch slapping them.
I thought it was a family movie, Tom.
It's a family movie, your ass. But
there haven't been so many non-whites killed since a Black Hawk Down.
Well, okay, take your kids.
Kids enjoy this. It's a popcorn movie.
Take all your illegitimate kids and go.
I thought it was a children's movie.
Well, anyhow, I thought it was great because to me, she was the epitome of the Aryan warrior woman that, in collusion with her Aryan warrior man, would clean things up, right? And she sets out first to kill the nigger, then she kills the da-da-da, just keeps killing the non-whites. And now they're going to have a sequel to it.
Oh, part two, because it was too long of a movie, so he had to cut it in half. So, the end of the movie is coming out in February.
I'm going to give that 5 flaming swastikas.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty good.
That's the best you can get.
God darn right. Yeah. You know, the thing I noticed is, Lucy Liu, I think she's part white or something like that.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that Lucy Liu, they always put her as this great beauty, but if you put her next to a real Japanese girl, remember that one, that go-go girl, the girl with that was swinging the ball and chain and stuff? You know, for being a racially pure Asian girl, I thought that the racially pure Aryan girl, Asian girl, was a lot better looking than the half-breed girl.
What?
Because Lucy Liu's got this funny eye thing going on.
Oh, you mean the one that was throwing the ball around?
Yeah, remember her?
Well,
I mean, speaking,
I've seen a lot better looking women than that in Tokyo.
Oh,
I mean, there's some fantastic.
They always build up Lucy Liu as this great beauty and stuff like that. But then she looks like just a racially mixed freak.
Well, the eyes are pulled too tight.
She's got all these freckles, and I know one eye goes to the side and one goes up top.
It's almost like she had them stretched
out.
Well,
I think it's her Caucasian blood fighting her Chinese blood.
Well, actually, they have these operations, have had them for decades, for Asian women to get their eyes rounded to look more like Western women. But you know the funny thing about it, when you walk down the streets of Tokyo, most of the women are whiter than we are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Almost white, white skin.
Yeah.
And other than some slant on the eyes, a lot of them are just, really beautiful women, But I didn't mess with any of them.
Yes. Well, my point is, I think racially pure gooks are a lot better than half gooks.
Oh, okay. I got
From an artistic point of view. Just like I think Whoopi Goldberg is a lot better looking than Halle Berry, because Halle Berry's a racially mixed freak.
Oh, now, come on. Wait a minute.
Whoopi Goldberg is a real woman. She's a real nigger. She looks like what a nigger should look like. Same with Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah,
she looks like a nigger.
No, she's a perfect example of a black woman that's not mixed.
It's just like a horse is better than a donkey.
But don't say she's beautiful.
Well, a horse is better looking
than
a mule.
She might be beautiful to an ape.
Oh,
But I mean, or Ted Danson.
Compared, a horse is more better looking than a mule, don't you think?
Well,
and a donkey looks better than a
mule. When you look at Halle Berry, you're seeing the whiteness in her. You know, she's not as good looking as most many real white women.
Yeah, I look at her and I see a mule.
Well, when I look at mixed people like that, I see the whiteness in them.
Yeah,
and
that makes me want to puke.
And that's the the only beauty they have is the white blood that's in them.
I think nigger pygmies are better looking than Halle Berry because at least they're racially pure. There's a certain purity to there's a beauty to purity. Like a pure zebra is better than had a scientific way to make zebras and a giraffe mix. I'd rather see a pure zebra than a mixed zebra.
Now look here, Dr. Kahlenberg. This is getting pretty hot and heavy. My simple farm mind can't keep up with all this intellectual jazz. We're gonna have to move on.
Well, Lucy Liu is no beauty.
Do we have anything else to talk about? What any other movies?
Oh, I saw Bill Black's School of Rock.
What the hell was that?
It was about this loser rock guy that he needs a job and he goes into school to become a substitute teacher.
Oh.
And all these kids, like, they all know about Britney Spears and stuff, but they don't know anything about rock and roll, so he teaches them about Led Zeppelin and rock. It's kind of funny. Well, I think you'd have to be part of that generation.
Only you, with your twisted mind.
You have to, I like Jack Black. Yeah,
who the hell's Jack Black?
He is an actor.
Hey, look, I thought it was a really great movie. It's a real emotional movie, sentimental movie, and all that kind of stuff. Made me a little cry, had a little tear out of my eye. That was that about the Lions, about the, Michael Caine.
Oh, Secondhand Lions?
Secondhand Lions.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
That's a good movie for good white people. All you Aryans out there, go see Secondhand
Lions. Why the hell would you cry?
Because it was touching, very touching. It's because this little kid that his mother didn't give a shit about him, and she was running off with, she was sort of a whore, and she brings him and dumps him on the old guy's lap, and they don't want him.
Yeah.
But then they learn to love him, and, it's a big deal. So anyhow, it was really a neat
I haven't
movie.
Cried at a movie since the Praetorian Guard killed Caligula.
Well,
you ever see that movie, Penthouse Caligula?
I don't want to make a big deal out of it, and I won't apologize for it, but if there's something really, really deep in a movie, yeah, I shed a tear.
Yeah.
I sort of try to hide it because they're supposed to think I'm tough.
Yeah.
Well, shit, they find out I cried a movie, they're going to kick my ass out of the struggle.
That's true.
What do you think?
That's true.
Well, I think women like men that can cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know something, Doctor?
No,
I can cry, and at the same time, I can cut your throat, too. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever let that get you confused.
Are you going to be crying when you're cutting or cutting when you're crying?
I'm going to be crying both ways, man.
Yes.
Well, I may not cry, but I could be cutting your throat while I'm crying.
Speaking of crying, what's Rush doing right now?
Rush, you can do it, Rush. Hang in there, boy. Hang in there, Rush. Come on.
Stop it.
No, we're not going to. Rush, we got to do this. You need it. It's for your own good. Yeah, it's for your own good. It is impressive.
A friend of Rush is in Schitt Creek. I guess this war in Iraq is getting a lot of talk on Capitol Hill because all the lying he's been doing, and they're finding out that, surprise, surprise, that the United States occupation of Iraq is giving the militant Muslims buku new recruits.
Well, why wouldn't it?
I know.
What the hell surprise is that?
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't.
Well, surprise, because they got this theory.
You couldn't fool a ghetto nigger with that stuff.
Well, actually, it's kind of a Jewish theory that the Jews think if you smash somebody, that they will fold, because the Jews, when they get smashed, they always fold. So they think they're the universal man, so they think everybody's going to fold. So you got this whole Jewish idea that you smash your enemies and they're supposed to fold, but actually you just make them stronger and more pissed off, and you get more sympathy and get more recruits for them.
Yeah, and then they get in their mind, don't get mad, just get even.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the way
yeah.
I always am. They've smashed me many times, and I always get meaner and more vindictive after
you
that.
You know, they never figure out, they keep smashing the Palestinians and stuff over and over and over, and they can't figure out why the Palestinians will send their children out with dynamite to blow up school buses, you know.
Well, they can't understand somebody that would give it all.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because
the Jews themselves are just crybabies and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
you
bitch slap them a couple of times, and they'll tell you anything.
Well, one of my favorite things. Is,
I'll be on your side now.
I remember there was a movie about the Warsaw Ghetto, and supposedly that the Nazis wanted the Jewish babies to send into the oven. And you heard all the violence start playing, and all these Jewish women were throwing their babies out on the streets so the Nazis couldn't guess. I was thinking, and this is supposed to make you sympathetic to the Jews?
Yeah.
You know, that they don't have enough guts to fight somebody to throw their babies to them?
Oh, boy.
But I think in the twisted Jewish mind, they think that you're supposed to go, oh, those poor Jews, look at how it's suffering with their babies on the street.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, this show runs about a week behind by the time we get it up mm-hmm. on the web. But you mm-hmm. know, today over mm-hmm. there in Israel,
mm-hmm.
well, there was three guys got killed.
Oh, yeah, Gaza Strip.
Yeah, they were going down the Gaza Strip just like they owned it, and that was the Palestinian area, mm-hmm. you know.
You got any strip joints on the Gaza Strip?
Well, they should have.
The Hollywood Strip?
Well, I don't know. The Jews, I don't think... control it too much, so there probably aren't any strips because the Jews would be in there.
Yeah.
I was listening to these guys like Bill Handel on the radio, and they're saying, "Well, there is no Palestine. There is no Palestinian country. Well, there was no Jew country either.
Yeah.
I mean, Israel just went in there and said, well, because we were there. Well, hell, the Italians were there. The Romans were there.
Yeah.
I mean, all these other people.
Canaanites. It actually should be the Canaanites.
I think the Italians should take over Israel
because
the Romans were there a long time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so why they say that the Palestinians don't have a country when the the Israelis or the Jews didn't have a country? You know, I guess they don't even realize how it looks to these other countries, that everything Israel wants, Israel gets. All the weapons that they're killing people with, they get from the United States, mm-hmm. or most of them, all this, and then they say, we can't understand why those Palestinians hate our ass.
Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised they aren't running planes into every goddamn building in this country.
Yeah.
If I was Arafat, oh, you'd see Munich all over the goddamn place, I'll tell you. Oh, Bushy's got a new plan.
What's this?
I forget exactly how he's going to employ it, but it's sort of going to leave the dollar float a little bit, like,
mm-hmm.
and lower the quality of the dollar,
mm-hmm.
the value of the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a big ass gamble,
mm-hmm.
and he thinks that this is going to cause more industry to stay in the country. And it's going to cause other countries to buy a lot more shit from us and all this kind of stuff. And so, but if he's wrong, that dollar could go right on down real quick.
I was just thinking that it worked so well with the Weimar Republic when they devoured the Deutschmarks. You know, the Deutschmark used to be worth about a dollar and stuff. They kept devaluing it and devaluing it and devaluing it until it was, you know, you take a wheelbarrow to just buy a loaf of bread.
Well, one thing good, I thought, that it will decrease foreign investment. That's good.
Yeah.
Get their asses out of here. And it may encourage manufacturers, a lot of them, to come back to the country.
Yeah.
So if this gamble works out, it could be a positive. I hate to say anything good about Bush, and it's probably not for our good anyhow.
No. No.
But still, and then if it goes the other way and everything collapses, that works in our favor too. So I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see.
It's kind of interesting how that money works because, you know, they can value it or devalue it at a whim, you know, whenever
right.
they feel like it. So it's worth just whatever they think it's worth.
Well, the problem, too, is that you press a button here and things start happening everywhere, you know, a million miles away.
Yeah.
You know, everything we do in this country affects every country in the world.
Yeah.
And anything that happens to the dollar affects every country in the world. And so, I don't know, we'll have to wait and see.
That's what Hitler's thing is, you know, because the liberals devalued the Deutschmark so bad, is when he got in power, he goes, you know, I believe in the German people, I think the Deutschmark is a valuable currency, then it became a valuable currency.
Yeah.
It was that simple, he just had to believe in it.
Right, well, that's what Thomas Edison said,
yeah.
to say, okay.
What do you think about the chinks in outer space?
Hey, man.
There's a chink in a box up there.
We got Egg Foo Young going around the earth, man.
I heard that the Bush administration supposedly is acting like they're worried because they're afraid that the communists are going to take over the moon.
Yeah, well, we gave them all the technology, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, yeah.
They give them all the technology, and then they say, oh, they got too much technology.
Well, both Clinton and the Bush administration, both Bush administrations were giving them all.
Well,
way Nixon started it.
All
yeah.
the way back to Nixon, yeah, yeah, when he had Rockefeller go over there. Yeah.
But then what they do is they want to get, you know, because he needs something to get him going for a campaign. And he's hinting about that he may even start like an anti-Chinese thing to get this a space program going so the boobs will vote for Bush because he's racing the Chinese to the moon.
He can't do that because then they get mad and we got all this, these corporations got all these investments over there and they'll pull the rug out from under Bush real quick.
Yeah. But they're kicking the idea around. Because he's losing in the polls, he needs himself a program.
Well, how can you have a absolute enemy, Red China, and a Red and China friend at the same time?
You ever read 1984?
I mean, how the hell could you have something like that? How could you have somebody that's a friend but an enemy at the same time? That's hard for
me. Remember in the Vietnam War, first they said that the Vietnamese were Russian-backed. Then in the middle of the war, they changed. The Vietnamese are Chinese-backed. You know, they kept changing it. They couldn't figure out who was backing them, you know.
So it
was whoever they were pissed off at the time, you know, that's who was backing the Vietnamese in the war.
All right. Okay, boys and girls, get your order pen ready. Yeah, we got the interrogation tape. Now, this interrogation tape is a real live interrogation tape and the best tape I've ever seen on how they break a person down to confess to something he didn't even do. Now, I've said over and over, if you're interrogated, I have nothing to say. I see on television, every detective story comes along. Everybody talks to the cops. They take them into the police station, and they put them in a room, and everybody's starting talking, trying to prove they're innocent or something like that. That is deadly. And the hardest thing to do, I guess, for people is just not to talk, because obviously they're scared when they get picked up. But some people get brainwashed to the point where they confess to crimes they didn't even commit. So anyhow, that interrogation videotape is $20, and you need it. Because, and also now we got the knife defense package. Yeah, the knife fest. That's about three or four at least big long videotapes on knife aggression and knife defense. And this is a lot. It's a real college course on knives for $20. And I think I should make that $25. Come on, that's a lot of tape and a lot of work. And then there's another personal defense fest. It's nearly 4 hours of get down dirty street training and all kinds of defending yourself in your car and all of that kind of stuff. So that's called the personal defense fest. $25. You need to know how to handle yourself in the street and any place else. Now, here's something you guys got to have, and you gals, and that's Terrible Tommy's Guide to White Urban Survival, and it's a pretty complete manuscript. It's $12, and you should at least study this Guide to White Urban Survival. It touches on everything in there, and you need it. You need it. $12 for that from War. And remember, make your checks or your money orders to John Metzger. You can pay by PayPal also, so that's the way that goes. And then we got all the flags and the rings and the pendants, too. That helps our programs get along, too. So if you'll send in a request for a sample copy of our newspaper, you'll get the list of all these items that are for sale. And that's a $3 donation for a up-to-date copy of our newspaper. One of our hottest movers is Might is Right by Ragnar Redbeard, and this is really become almost the Bible to many of us, and that's $20. Now, for now, every order over $50 will receive, if you like, a free hardbound university volume of a chemistry book, The Bible on Nitroglycerin. Oh, boy, that's a big banger. Yeah, and it's actually translated from the German. This is a college textbook, and it's hardbound. It's about 500 pages, and we'll give that to you free for any order over $50 while our supply lasts. Now, all orders shipped out in the United States are postage paid, so you don't have to pay postage in the United States. When you're in other countries, you do, and you'll have to read the information on our website about that. So don't worry about postage. We pay for that inside the United States.
The old man was covered with tattoos and scars. He got some in prison, others bars. The rest of that work on an old junk car for the daytime. They looked like tombstones in our yard, and I never seen him when he wasn't tired and mean. He sold used parts to make ends meet, covered with grease from his head to his feet, cussing the sweat in the Texas heat and the mosquitoes. And the neighbors said we lived like dicks. They brung their cars from paw to fix, anyhow. He was veteran proud, tried and true. He fought till his heart was black and blue. Didn't know how he made it through the hard times. He bought a house on a GI Bill, but it wasn't worth all he had to kill to get it. He drank Pearl in a can and Jack Daniels Black. Chewed tobacco from a mail pouch sack. Had an old dog that was trained to attack sometimes. He'd get drunk and mean as a rattlesnake, and there wasn't too much that he would take from a stranger. There were 13 kids and a bunch of dogs, house full of chickens and a heart full of hogs. Spent the summertime cutting up the lawn for the winter. Trying like a devil to find a load, working like a nigger for my room and board. Coal burning stove, no natural gas. If that ain't country, I'll kiss your ass. If that ain't country, I'll hell up the Pope. If that ain't country, it's a damn good joke. I seen the Grand Ole Opry and I met Johnny Cash. That ain't country. I'll kiss your ass. Mama sells eggs at the grocery store. My oldest sister, she's a first rate whore. Dad says she can't come home anymore. He means it. Ma just sits and keeps her silence. Sister, she left because Dad got violent, and he knows it. Mama, she's old, far beyond her time, chopping tobacco, and I've seen her crying. But the blood started flowing from her calloused hand, and it hurt me. She just keeps working, trying to help the old man to the end of one row and back again like home. She's been through hell since Junior went to jail. When the lights go out, she never failed to get down on her knees and pray. Because she